last evening, we were thinking about Nibbana for general knowledge, but it's not easy to convince those people that we have not given the practice and realized Nibbana. Somebody going from Pavata, they know Vata. Going from process of permission phenomena, or sankara, permission, that is object arising in the system door. From process of from the process to non-process, that is the process, the cessation of that process, or the cutting off of this process, with the realization of five truths of the noble ones. Therefore, there are questions and answers about how is Nibbana, how is the cessation of defilement, and all these things have been asked and answered. And there are many questions and answers about this subject, and among them we shall pick out a few things in order to convince at least facilitate to guess about the presence of Nirvana with questions and answers. Although it is not easy to convince those who have not yet realized it, if the subject has to be explained from the particular aspects, like they have not realized it. So, however, the subject was dealt with questions and answers, giving similes, so that those who don't believe in the existence of Nibbana can have faith in it, or at least guess that such a thing exists. So today we shall discuss about the questions and answers between King Miranda and Elder Nagasena. Once you come into existence, when you're reborn in this present life or in any life, you wish to enjoy good things, good sense impressions, such as seeing good physical objects, hear good sounds, something like that, and better visible objects, better and better sounds, and the best that you can get. However, you cannot get what you want. So in this life, there are good things as well as bad things, and also neutral things, neutral objects. Whatever objects you get, once you get, you are born into this existence, you are bound to confront, you are to meet with bad ones as well as good ones. You will not meet bad ones only, nor good ones all the time. So in this way, one lives one's life trying to satisfy oneself by changing these sense objects from one to another, and try to enjoy the best that you can get, the most desirable thing. But even the most desirable thing will cause boredom. You feel disenchanted with the best things if this thing is experienced continuously from one time to another time and so on. For instance, if you watch a movie, when you see a new movie, you enjoy seeing it, and maybe you see it again because it is so nice to watch. But how about that time, poor time, you get bored and wearied or disenchanted with the same movie. So also with other objects. When in the long run you get so much used to it, and then you don't enjoy it, it will not become interesting to you. So we can say that your delight or relish, enjoyment, has gone out of you. Other best things also, other things which are considered best also will be life will also be in this way. Not to mention anandacharo experiences. You won't turn your attention to this again. So everything becomes very commonplace, so that at one time or another, you don't want to exert your energy to enjoy it. And even if you exert your energy, very soon you get exhausted. You get wearied with it. So you want to take a rest out of that. Oh, let me take time off from all these things. They come in now again and again, and I don't want to enjoy it. That's the same thing all over again. So you wish to take your time off from these things. So you take a rest, 1 hour rest, 2 hour rest. As long as you rest, you are bound to feel peaceful and happy and blissful. So you'll be able to overcome this exhaustion or boredom, even with desirable objects, so that you will not be pulled away by these desirable objects. You wish to take rest, take time off, and you might go to bed and sleep it off, so to speak. You don't want to enjoy these things, you don't want to see, hear, this, touch. You just want to take a rest by lying, crashing out on your bed. So when you are resting like this, sleeping it off, especially when you are fast asleep, you will not be enjoying any of these sense impressions. Neither will there be any enjoyment of seeing visible objects or hearing good sounds and so on. Even if there is some good smell in your bedroom, you will not enjoy this smell. There will be no enjoyment about this smell. Even if there is some tasty food laid out near you, near your bed, you will not wish to enjoy eating this food, because you want to enjoy good rest, good sleep. Even if the bed itself is very comfortable, luxurious, you won't be able to enjoy it if you are fast asleep. So in this way, even you will not enjoy any fantasies. Those of you who are very imaginative or prone to fantasies, there will be no enjoyment of thinking or imagining or fantasizing anything. There is total peace. That is during the time of this sleep, hours of sleep. You are enjoying the sound sleep. And when you wake up from that, you will say to yourself, how nice have I been, how nice is this sleep? It has been a nice sound sleep that I've had. This will be the remark that you will make. So you say it is good. That means there is something good in it, something nice in it, a nice sleep. But can you explain this niceness or goodness? You cannot. But you cannot say that there is such a thing as goodness, because you cannot explain this. There is no denial about the presence of goodness in your sleep. So you cannot explain it. And by not being able to explain it, you cannot deny the existence of its goodness in your sound sleep. Anyway, it is a fact that you have had good peace of mind. So if you want to know how nice this sleep is, all you have to do is just to try to sleep it off. You try to sleep, enjoy a sound sleep, then you will understand what a peaceful and nice feeling or nice sleep it is. So like this story of two sisters that we talk about, when the unmarried sister asked a married one what a married life is like, the married sister replied that we should get married to know what a married life is like. So when you are going from pavata to non-pavata, apavata, process to non-process, that is the continuity, the process or continuity of arising and passing of objects of the six senses or the conditioned the phenomena. If you want to realize that, all you have to do is try to take the practice in order to realize this non-process, which is Nibbana. If you, during the time of process, avata, or during the time of your life, your existence, you are bound to be confronted with rising and passing away, and then there is impurities, undesirable things, miseries and things like that, detestable things. All this will be experienced by you, and you will become disenchanted with these experiences, with these objects, and you will come to conclude at one time that you get to so much fed up with all these things. You say it is better that these things don't happen at all. That means you are longing to realize Nibbana. So, and you say that this kind of reasoning or this kind of reflection leads to the desire to realize Nibbana. And then you have a desire that things don't arise. You have a desire for salvation. Then you wish to transform from pavata, transform your life from pavata to non-pavata, from process to non-process. And this is your own personal experience. It is quite natural that people have different ideas, different fancies, different likes and dislikes. They're not the same. It's quite natural. Most people favor avata process, the discontinuity of mind body or the existence, and only a minority are for avata non-process. And those people who desire or like non-process avata, they don't like avata or process and vice versa. So as for likes and dislikes regarding avata, avata process and non-process, those people who long for or who are in favor of avata are in possession of what is known as bodhisankhanabala, intellectual reason, or reason, the power of reason. And as for those who are in favor of process, avata, they lack this intellectual reasoning. Not seeing the flaws of this process, one thinks that the process for existence is desirable, pleasurable, and they have become attached to it. And as for those who favor abhavata, non-process, they are in possession of patisankhanabala, the power of intellectual reasoning, that they reason that this process, existence, is cause of suffering, and they are not desirable, they have flaws in it, they lead to endless suffering. In this way, they reason intellectually. Seeing the flaws, they don't like it, so they are in favor of non-process. In this way, the vision is different from one to another. Everyone has its own or her vision, which is different from one another. So in this way, the seeing the flaws of desire, longing, or favor, of avata and non-avata, process and non-process, depend upon the presence or absence of intellectual reasoning. This is how the reasoning takes place, as much as there is this flow of existence like a current, there must be a non-flow or cutting off this current of existence. And as much as there is this heat of existence, there must be this peace and coolness of existence, or peace and coolness. As much as there is heat, there must be coolness. So one has got to study Bhagavata, how, what it is, and how it is, and what are the conditions for this, and how does it change. If one tries to reason out, one is bound to understand the nature of this Bhagavata and its process. And that's why there's a question and answer between King Miranda and Elder Nagasena about this Bhagavata and non-Bhagavata. If one understands, tries to understand, one studies or learns, or one studies the current, the flow of sense impressions that is seen here, tasting, touching, bending, stretching, shifting, moving, blazing, which make up this Bhagavata process. With the practice of the way of mindfulness, Satipatthana, you will come to understand the nature of this flow of Bhagavata process. And as much as you understand, you learn it, you will come to understand the quality of this mind and insight, the nature of this Bhagavata, and you will be able to cultivate your mind and insight. Your mind and insight are bound to progress. And then you come to know the nature of Bhagavata process. How this happens, how new things come up, new things are born, ages get old and dissolves, pass away instantaneously. How they change and how they arise, not at your will, but at their will. And all these things will be able to be reasoned out. And then you come to understand that they are not dependable. There's no essence in it to be dependent upon. You see the flaws of this process. And when you see the flaws, before you saw the flaws, you thought they were desirable, they're good. So you were attached to them. Now you come to see the flaws or disadvantage of these objects, then you become detached from these things, that you are not, that you discover that they are not desirable, but they are not dependable. Just like an iron rod, which is heated up, because the whole iron rod is hot, nobody can hold it, nobody can hold at the end, at the beginning or the end or the middle, because the whole iron rod is hot, red hot. There's no peaceful, no part of it is cool. The whole rod is hot. So nobody wants to hold it. So too with Bhagavata. When this process, Bhagavata, is studied and understood in the practice of Satipatthana, one will come to understand the flaws of this Bhagavata process, that there is nothing desirable either at the beginning, the middle, or the end. They are detestable, they are suffering, they are tormenting, they are undermining, they rise and pass away, nothing dependable. In this way, you see the flaws in this process, so you will not get attached. It is, you long for a known process. That is what Elder Nagasena replied. So too with the yogis, they are noting every day Bhagavata in the body, process, that is rising and falling away from the six sense doors in their body, noting and cultivating it, cultivating mindfulness, and mindfulness is sustained in its own right. So they come to understand the nature of this Bhagavata process. And by this, they are said to be cultivating this mind and insight. When one is reasoning, that Bhavata is not desirable, and whereas Abhavata, Lungo says, is peaceful, then one comes to cherish Abhavata non process. So it leads to search for the method of practice, the Karakamatara practice. You would approach the good teachers or good companions, Kalyanamita, for the sake of Abhavata non process. Once they get this method, you cultivate. In order to cultivate their mind and insight, they will enter the retreat and start to undertake the practice. Then they continue to exert their energy in order to gain this Abhavata. They practice repeatedly, cultivating, developing. Out of 24 hours, they practice the entire period, except the time when they are fast asleep, looking for Abhavata non-process while they are still living in the Abhavata process. So while they are in process with Abhavata, before they have reached the Abhavata non-process, they energetically apply the building mind to the object of attention repeatedly, cultivating mindfulness. As much as they do, they are bound to realize Abhavata. And in order to realize Abhavata, they will apply their mindfulness so that the mindfulness becomes fixed, sustained on the object to be noted. And then by noting every arising in the body with the contemplation of the body, mindfulness of the body, by noting every feeling, sensation, good or bad, with the practice of mindfulness of feeling, and noting every idea and thought, with the practice of mindfulness of the mind, and noting every seeing, hearing, tasting, and so on, with the mindfulness of the general objects, Dhamma objects, so that you will come to understand the nature of Bhavata process. At that moment, in the course of the process, the scope will become narrowed to a subtle point or subtle area. Although the Bhavata, in the beginning, Bhavata is very wide, that means the scope of objects are very wide, this scope will become narrowed. So leaving only just subtle awareness. At that time, the energy becomes very strong, brilliant. While they are in Bhavata process, they will become satisfied with the practice, there will be no boredom, they will not become disillusioned with the practice, there will be no stop and circle, there will be no lack of exhaustion, there will be no lack of exhaustion with exertion also. They become energized and satisfied with the practice. They feel they are said to be enjoying this meditation. And while the scope of awareness becomes narrowed down to a subtle point, they will be noting the practice of Sutipatthana, trying to understand the nature of Bhavata, thus cultivating their mind and insight.
Hello, Nina.
As one is noting, this process, which is flowing like a current in the body, incessantly, thinking that this process will never come to a stop, apparently not stopping, seemingly unstopping flow of current in the body is noted. This is process. And one is practicing, cultivating mindfulness of this process. energetically applying on the remainder of your attention in a systematic manner, which is known as Samadhi. If one walks a path, straight path, as laid down by the teachers, and leading towards, with mind intent, towards realizing Avabodha, non-process. One is noting every arising phenomena, so as not to miss, not to forget, not to lose sight of it. One is said to be walking the path straight, so as to cultivate one's mind and insight for the basics, in order to progress along the stages of insight knowledge. And such a person, or such a yogi who is practicing, who is walking along the path straight, is known as Samapatipanna. Seeing the flaws of the Vata process, understanding that process is undesirable, not pleasurable, having pleasant in it, like the case of this iron rock, which nobody wants to hold because it is hot throughout, from the beginning, the end, and the middle. Nobody wants to hold it because one sees the flaws of the rock, that it is hot, and one cannot handle it. There's disadvantages in it, there's suffering in it. So, in this way, one practices seeing flaws in the process, cultivating one's mind and insight. At that moment, there will be no lack of exertion of energy, there will be no lack of exhaustion due to the exertion of energy. There will be exertion of energy, and sitting hours will proceed from 1 hour. One can now be able to sit 1 hour very easily, comfortably, without any problem. Previously, one had to try very hard to sit through the hour. Now, one can go through this 1 hour sitting very easily. One can even go to 2 hours, 3 hours, and so on. Yeah, and then cutting down one's sleeping hours at that time. And even if one is not sleeping at night times, one always feels very bright and clear. So, at this moment, the practice is going very well. At that moment, there is a process of, there is the process to non-process. You'll experience the noting mind, put the noting mind and noted object disappearing, as though they are cast away, they're thrown away. That is going from Bhavata to non-Bhavata, such is given as Nibbana, such is Karoti, realizing Nibbana. This is how Aaron Alasana explained to King Miranda.
Hey, everyone that is Sayavara.
This Abhavata non-process, that is with the path and its fruit. Or fruit, part consciousness, and fruition consciousness. And with which one can only see Nibbana, Abhavata. So in order to realize that stage, one has got to practice mindfulness according to the saying, guarding the mind with original mindfulness of every arising. At the moment, our Abhavata, which is flowing like a current, the process is noted with practice of Satipatthana, with the matter of Satipatthana. In the Lokiya Mega, they call it mundane path. The insight practice is known as mundane path, where we practice the three trainings, Sila Samadhi Pinya, of moral virtue, concentration, and wisdom, systematically. With the moral virtue, we overcome transgressive defilements. With concentration, Priyasi Samadhi, we overcome obsessive defilements. And as we are able to be concurrent with the loading line. So the loading line is concurrent with the loaded object. This is known as a Marcin Kappa, robot right aim, leading to right understanding, that is somehow sticky. Seeing the mind and body, and arising, progressing along the path of insight, and thus overcoming the leading tendency of defilements. In this way, we overcome the gross, medium, and refined type of defilements, and the four and a half breakages, four of our mega, which is the breakage of four breakages, the noble path. And in this way, with the inside practice, during the inside practice, we are weakening, we are overcoming the defilements, subduing, calming the defilements, weakening them. Yes, so we are basically overcoming them by weakening these defilements until we reach the stage of purity of mind, by which we see Nirvana Abhavata, such as realizing Nirvana, when the relevant defilements are eradicated to the point of Nirvana. We shall discuss this tomorrow.